May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 701. When my dear Jesus hides his smiling face, nor lets me feel the unction of his grace, I feel my loss, nor can my spirit rest, till with his lovely presence I am blessed. Hymn 701.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Psalm 71, the Book of Psalms, Psalm 71. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honour all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonour that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. My righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, but who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Let us pray. Most gracious and dearest eternal Lord, our only advocate, High Priest, with thy Father, we come to thee in prayer in this public way, and do seek the blessing of the Spirit to be as dew upon our heart, to know something of the life, of thy life within, in giving life and bearing that blessed fruit, those peaceable fruits of righteousness. Do grant, Lord, that we may at this time be enabled to address thee. Help us to realize thou art in heaven and we are upon the earth. To enable us, Lord, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand in all things. Come to thee and seek thy blessing now upon us. Do teach us how to pray aright in the sanctuary, and may we be led to pray aright and address thee aright. Lord, we do pray for that help at this time. Thou knowest every heart that trembles. Thou knowest the trials, the sorrows that we're in, everyone in this house. Help us to realize, guide each by the skillfulness of thy hands, integrity of thy heart, that thou knowest the cause of every sorrow. Lord, thou dost cause it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. No doubt, Lord, may we each in due time prove all three. Lord, we come to thee and do ask that thou wilt remove every hindrance, the legality, the legal hindrances, the blindness of unbelief, all the casting aside of that little hope. Lord, the lack of exercise, the lack of the prayer in our hearts in a daily matter, these are the causes of the much withholding of the rain of heaven. We make our requests known and come to thee and confess all our many sins. Is there that real confession and departing from those things which are not right in thy sight, in our breast? Help us each to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils and look alone to thee. Thou hast said, I will work and who will let it? Work mightily within our own hearts and cases and upon the steps of our life. Lord, we pray that we may know the showers of thy love again and again and again, for nothing will revive us but thy word, or the sweetness of the word of grace. Lord, do help us to wait patiently again and again for these renewings. And under thy withholding hand, may we never deny that knowledge of thee. So bless us as we gather. We are dependent and we seek thy blessing now. O Lord, we seek thy blessing upon the word, and do pray that there may be a sense, Lord, of thy love shed abroad, unspeakable, eternal, determined, Lord, sanctifying, bringing forth the crown of righteousness, the robe of righteousness, bringing forth all the work of grace upon our own soul, Lord, and the eternal knowledge that thou art with us. We do ask it. We must leave it with thee. Do enable us to go on our journeys, still in much prayer and exercise, still waiting for further tokens, still waiting for thy appearing. Do grant that we may be delivered from just a pathway religion. We want a heavenly one. We want one that has the end of the journey in glory. We want one that began at Calvary in the way of pilgrimage, may begun thy dealings in Egypt, but it is through the Passover and the Red Sea where the pilgrimage began, and the wanderings in the wilderness. So we pray it may end through Jordan into the promised rest forever. And dear Lord Jesus, may we have knowledge of the rest that faith, living faith, has a little foretaste of. So Lord, do remember us in mercy and give us the right matters in our heart that we may know in the fiery trials, like Job, that our Redeemer liveth. And Lord, that we may know that we shall yet behold thy face, and shall walk in garments, Lord, that thou hast wrought. So we pray that we may know something even this night. And why this night? Because we are in the sanctuary, and we don't want to worship in a dead form. We want something. We fear to come from the sanctuary unprofited. We, Lord, find it troublesome, trying, to say the least, Lord, to leave thy house empty. So we cry, send us empty not away. And we, being the one who is appointed at this time in this public manner, feel much lies upon our own head and heart. O Lord, of the occasions of the meetings in the sanctuary. But Lord, it is still thou that must give. And we cry to thee in all humility and grace, to be submissive, if it is not thy will to appear. Pray for that submission, quietness. May we never reply, but humble ourselves under thy hand. So remember us, remember all gathered. Bless the ministry in this house of prayer. Bless the deacons, the church, the congregation. Remember all that are laid aside, unable to attend, one near the journey's end, as looked after by the family. Remember him in mercy. Remember all aged friends, one out this night, again strengthened to return. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, especially those we would remember who have been seriously ill. Pray for those healing mercies, the blessings of eternal life upon their soul. They may be brought forth the rich treasures of heaven through the kingdom of thy grace, to be uttered to be felt and displayed. We pray for thy blessing upon each. All in affliction, dear young friends, the Sunday school. Bless the dear young friends, be gracious, provide for them. The children at school, remember mothers and fathers. All are in need of help at this time, those being joined in time later this year. Go before each. Dear Lord, we pray for all in a lonely pathway, plough in a lonely furrow, widows and widowers, all those in tribulation's veil, those gathered in with us. Dear Lord, do bless thy word. Remember, this house remembers Zion. Remember all on the walls of Zion, thy servants, the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies. Return in power to us as a group of churches. Bless thy one church in the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared. Thy word is read. Have mercy on this, our guilty land, and the most awful matters that are upon us. Oh, bring about a better order of things in the land. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Open the eyes of our royal house and our leaders to their sin and their shame. And do change us in the nation. We acknowledge and thank thee for every mercy, every blessing, every favour we have. For all the wonders thou hast done and hast wrought. In our short lives, the word of grace, the word of God, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the blood of the everlasting covenant, a high priest above. The doors of the sanctuary open. Do bless us in coming. May we ever confess every sin. Leave us not to leave matters unconfessed and unturned. We pray for the precious anointing, the blood of sprinkling upon our consciences and souls. Peculiar blessings of the Spirit we beseech thee for in the way of righteousness. Lord, for we need the power and the glory and the grace in one. Lord, the glory of the Lamb to be upon us in all his sufferings and all his victories. Come, blessed Spirit. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake, amen.
Hymn 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us. Fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
complete dependence upon the Lord, I will draw your attention to the psalm we read, Psalm 71 and verse 16. Psalm 71 and verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Psalm 71 verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. It would seem the psalmist is in what we call senior years, according to what we read in verse 9, whether it was anticipation, we cannot be sure, but it would appear also from verse 18 to be in the present tense. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. But also, it seems, believe it to be David, but not certain, he is in trouble. It is not a time of old age, of ease. The modern way of life is look forward to retirement, relax, enjoy it, and all the things you've not been able to do when you were working. But pilgrims find that the old age and senior years bring increasing sorrows, increasing ones they've had before, but now more intense, more trying, and faith is tried. You know, the fight of faith doesn't cease when we retire or get easier as we get older or reach 70. It gets more intense. Temptations get stronger. Personal sorrows increase. Family sorrows. Church sorrows, maybe. Not always, but maybe. But certainly personal ones. Family ones. Circumstantial ones. The enemy increases, and we have less ability, and let's be honest, less flexibility of mind, perhaps, because the natural faculties fail. And as the natural faculties fail, so the soul feels it keenly. And often the Lord deals with his dear people down to their last time. By way of humbling from self-confidence and pride. But you know, you can't put an old head on young shoulders. Those of middle life and of younger years cannot enter the experience of old people. And therefore it is a lonely pathway for those in senior years. It is often a lonely pathway, as they younger ones have little understanding of how they feel, never having yet come into the pathway. But it is not my intention to speak of birthdays and so forth. It is the word that is before us, and it is a mercy that the psalmist, although he's struggling and in trial, is enabled to still have that foundation laid in his heart. And whatever has come upon him, And it seems that men are speaking against him, plotting against him to his hurt. And whether we know this or not, I wouldn't know, but we have an enemy that plots against us and plans temptations for us and lays snares for our feet. I don't know whether you know what I'm talking about, but I'm telling you the truth. We have an enemy who will stir us up trouble. And if he observes that we've been favoured in soul, he won't leave us alone. If we've been favoured in soul, that enemy will come in like a flood. So therefore, whether younger or older, we have this tribulation perhaps in the psalm. But it's a mercy to be able to say in tribulation, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Who else are you going to trust? Is there a foundation of trust? The psalmist has a ground of trust. Have you a ground of trust and hope? Two things have you. One is, have you proved the Lord to have been your trust before and proved by deliverance and help? Or have you also, on the other hand, likewise, been led, perhaps, to a measure of hope and your soul to have knowledge of the, a little knowledge of the foundation of hope for a poor sinner in the oath and of God concerning the covenant in the sacrifice of his son? And that knowledge through the grace from this flowing by the Lord's gentle voice leading and giving those tokens. I believe the psalmist had knowledge of God in both ways. The psalmist had the knowledge of grace in both ways, approving the Lord's delivering hand in time past in tribulation, and being led to the person of the Redeemer. And what a mercy if we can say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never to be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You will be brought to trust in him if you are the Lord's, in some measure, greater or smaller. His people will be brought to trust in him and to wait patiently for him, whether they be in the fire or two fires, or one burden under or two burdens. Is this our cry this night? For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art the, my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb, that he that took me out of my mother's bowels, my praise shall be continually of thee. Have we anything this night we can speak of concerning the Lord's mercies to us? A delivering hand, the Lord appearing? Or is it all judgment and darkness? Perhaps it is. Is there not that place to go to? What a place is Calvary to go to plead We can't physically go to it. Our soul can't automatically fly there. But is there anything we can acknowledge the Lord appearing to us, encouraging us, those small tokens? Have you proved his goodness? I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honour all the day. You see, amidst the tribulation, he's able to speak of those things that the Lord has shown him and led him in. But I want to come, dear friends, to the text really. He says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof, in the preceding verse. And we do not know the numbers of the Lord's giving us of his blessings of salvation and the tokens that can only come from every blessing, every token is through the righteousness of Christ. It won't come otherwise. If you've had a token, you may not feel it from the righteousness of the Lamb, but God will not give it to lost man, but through the righteousness of his only begotten Son. You may not realize it's come from there, but may you be led to behold where it has come from and how it has come and through it has come, the merits of the Lamb. It's come from there, from Christ himself. But we know not the numbers thereof, and we do not know. Who can tell the extent of mercy over our lives? But you see, he is in trouble also. You see, there is the two sides. There is the trust, the knowledge, on the one hand. But on the other hand, there is the need, the desire, the cry for help. But here the psalmist encourages, we read of this, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, as they spake of stoning him. All his friends turned on him. All his followers and supporters turned on him because they are in bitterness. How God ordered the pathway to humble David. You see, dear David, you've said these white lies to Achish and you won't get away with it. You've made something out to Achish to escape, for your own scalp to escape. For the Lord listened and judged, and when he returned to his own place given to him by Achish, it was burned with fire, and everything was gone, including the wives, the little ones. And the people's souls were grieved. What could David do? God stirred him to trouble. Perhaps you feel the Lord has brought you trouble, like David. The Lord brought him trouble, but he turned to the very hand that appointed the trouble in humility and confession and encourages himself in the Lord his God. How could David encourage himself? By pleading, confessing, and pleading all the Lord's anointing, all the Lord's word, all the Lord's mercy to him. Because if the Lord has spoken, there's a reason. There's blessing. You can't destroy the blessing. Well, wait a minute. Left to yourself, you would. But grace will prevent by causing that turning of the heart and confessing and weeping and pleading the glory, the word. What could David plead? The anointing he had had. A holy anointing oil put on him. And it was just oil. In itself it was no holiness, but it was blessed by God. There was the appointment of the kingdom to him. He could plead, Lord. He could plead every mercy and deliverance he had had. As a cunning, as a covenant blessing. A covenant blessing. Because it was. And confess his wrong. And plead for help. And inquire. Bring hither the ephod. Have you inquired of the Lord? He causeth it to come. Have you inquired of the Lord the cause of it to come? The trial. Bring hither the ephod. But David is given that strength to the wisdom, the cunning to inquire and to seek pursuance. And he recovered all. Recovered all. Everything was recovered. And not a hoof would be left. Everything was recovered. Everything. And so, dear friends, every comfort can be recovered. The Lord will return again and have mercy. And you know, in that turning, it seems as if there's a double fullness in the double blessing. Well, I didn't intend to talk about Ziklag, but before us we have this word. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I've got to continue in the strength of the Lord. Whatever the trial, I must continue in the pathway. I must continue in the sanctuary. I must continue where the Lord is intending me to be, in the pathway ahead. I know not the way ahead, but I'll go in the strength of the Lord. I must continue under the Lord's will. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Dear Moses, in that most solemn time of threatening, well, in a way, he encouraged himself in the Lord, didn't he? But not perhaps the same way as David did. He pleaded for the Lord's presence still to be among them. You know, grace wrestles. If you've got grace, you cannot, you'll be like Jacob. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. If you've got grace, you cannot shrug your shoulders and say, well, so it'll be it, won't it? Could Moses say, well, that's it now, that's our sin, that's what we've done, we've worshipped the golden calf, and that's all over now, so look, we better get on with it and make the best of it. Is that what pilgrims do? No, because of covenant relationship, because if there's a covenant relationship, you never give up. And what does Moses do? How could he go ahead? How could he lead the children of Israel? Without the Lord's presence, how can you go on without the Lord's presence? The token of the Lord's presence, the token of his blessing. And Moses pleads. Again, this is remarkable. He pleads all the Lord has said and done. That's where you'll have to come to. You'll have to come. Do you ever plead his word? It might be a word that's been given. It might be a word that you know is a very gracious, blessed, sacred word that you feel you don't deserve. You've never had it. Can you plead it? Go and plead it. God's word is pleadable. Grace is pleadable. And your proof it is. But you'll have to wait on the Lord for it. For the unfolding of his will. You know, because Moses just pleaded, didn't mean it was all going to be all right. He had to wait for the answer. There's a waiting for the answer. And there's a trial of faith in waiting for the answer. But you know, Moses has got one object in view. Have we got that object in view? He says this, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. There's the reason. We may say, Lord, show me now the way. But he says, show me now thy way. Not the way, thy way. Show me now thy way. And the same grace in the Apostle Paul. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's the first thing he said. Well, part the first thing, who art thou, Lord? And when the answer was given, the second thing, it was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The knowledge of who he was against and how Christ was against him and how he was against Christ. But now revelation, is there a hope? Jesus revealed, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, what a change of story. What a change of attitude. Well, more than that, it's a change of heart. It's a change of a new kingdom. It's a new covenant now. Not the old of Paul's of Saul of Tarsus righteousness. He needs another. Show me now thy way, says Moses, that I may know thee. Ah, does the trial bring us there? Is that where we're brought to? And he said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he says later here, show me thy glory. Show me now thy way that I may know thee. Show me thy glory. Dear friends, how do these things affect us? I will go in the strength of the... Then Moses could go in the strength of the Lord. You know, the strength of the Lord is not a blind faith. It's not just a, well, I believe I've got faith and I'll venture. I know there is the venturing on his merit, as a soul has to plead with him to venture on his merit. But a living soul wants to feel the merit to venture upon. When the Lord said to Peter, come to walk on the sea, the Lord was before him. So he steps down looking at the Lord. And he sinks when he doesn't look at the Lord. But the Lord was there. Therefore a living soul can't just venture blindly in a blind obedience, a legal obedience. There must be the dew of grace. And that's the living soul's exercise. It's the psalmist's exercise in tribulation. Is it our exercise to have the knowledge of Christ as our covenant head, his presence, his blessing, to be with us? Show me now thy way. I will go in the strength of the Lord. The psalmist knows something of the strength of the Lord. Do we know something of the strength? Look at Jehoshaphat. Again, pleading all the Lord has said and done. Jehoshaphat pleads what? He pleads the prayer of Solomon and the answer God gave by fire as an answer of grace. And not more than a token of mercy, a declaration of mercy, an acceptance to the prayer by fire from heaven. So Jehoshaphat pleads it in prayer. He pleads what the Lord has said. But he has to come to this. Neither in this trial, although I've pleaded what thou hast said, what thou hast done, Lord, reminded thee of his covenant. Not that God needs reminding, but see, it's the poor sinner, as he tries to say to the Lord, remember this, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, thy word hath quickened me. But it's really the Lord who's reminding the poor sinner. It seems that the poor child of God is saying to the Lord, remember thy word unto me, Lord,
But the point is, it's not the Lord remembering, it's the poor sinner who's being having to remember all the words of the Lord. But what the poor sinner wants is the Lord to turn his hand and open it as it was before. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And he had the answer. You know, there's some gracious answers there. I'll quote them. The final one, or the first one, was, be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, there's a lot in that word. I can't linger on it, but I can tell you there's a lot in it. Because if the Lord is your strength, he is the Lord that's mighty in battle. You know, did Moses go in his own strength or in the Lord's strength? Did not the Lord say to him at the Red Sea, the Lord shall fight for you, ye shall hold your peace? You shall not need to fight in this battle. For the battle isn't yours, friends. The battles of the pathway, the spiritual battles. How do you win over the devil? By looking to Jesus. There's no winning over the devil in your own strength. You're having to plead with him, look to him, wait for him, watch for him, plead his word. And in the last great enemy, death, we're utterly dependent, stripped of everything, dependent, brought to nothing, but to rely entirely upon the merits of his grace. And friend, not just to lay back and trust them, but to plead and plead and plead as we come to the end of the journey, as we see the day approaching. How awful to come to the end in a prayerless, complacent condition. Oh, who knows how any of us will fare then. Oh, how we need the Lord in earnestness to visit us. The other word is, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem. Strength. And when they went forth to fight the enemy, and that great multitude that had come against them, we have no might against this great multitude that has come against us, and neither know we what to do, neither know I how to handle it, Lord, but our eyes are upon thee. And when they went forth, he appointed singers to say that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went forth. And there was nothing they could do or had to do. It was all done for them. Well, friends, all this may seem encouraging. How does it affect our soul? Are you a living soul? Are you in the path of life of faith, because we read of Moses in faith, Abraham in faith, Isaac in faith, Jacob in faith, Joseph in faith, and all those later mentioned without names put to them, Jehoshaphat in faith, Samuel. We go in the strength of the Lord. Friend, the strength of the Lord is grace flowing into the soul in instruction, a word in season, the Lord to go before you. Is the Lord, is the strength of the Lord. I believe it is a covenant truth, the Lord is the one that goes before us in the pathway, because he has actually in salvation. And therefore the angel of his presence will go before his people and be their rearward. And that is the blessings of the strength of the Lord. But you know, there are experiences of this strength. There are experiences of it. Sometimes there are the trials of it. There are the down sittings, and there is no strength. Your strength dried up like a potsherd? Think of Job. Strength dried up like a potsherd. Think of David in confessing his afflictions. But the same David could say this in another day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The point is, he said this because he proved deliverance from trouble. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? With high language. But dear friends, is the Lord the strength of your life? Is he the strength of your soul? It means you've got no other strength, because it'll be Jesus only. There'll be no room for other helpers. I found if I could say anything of it, say anything of it rightly, that I've had to come off all other strengths. All other strengths. To know the strength of his word. Or the strength of the grace in the word. The strength of that righteousness through faith, which I want to come to in a moment, is in the text. The strength of his mercy. Well, light, salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. You know, David wasn't always there, was he? You look at Psalm 27, then look at Psalm 25, look at Psalm 51, look at Psalm 38, and then you can go to the Psalms of praise and see how David, the dear friends, he rose up and he went down. But God is a refuge and strength, is he? When a very present help in trouble, and there's the strength. But how do I know he's a present help in trouble? There's a proving. Now I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go, I will continue. But a very present help in trouble. You know, you may be able to turn to part of Psalm 46 and say, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, though the mountains shake and swell, there is a river. But dear friends, it's no good knowing about the river. It's the streams you want to taste. This is the exercise of a living soul every day. A very present help in trouble because of those streams. I know the hymn writer's lovely line, streams of mercy never ceasing. Flow to us? No, I don't think that's quite right. Through Jesus' blood, I was going to say. The streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. You know, you may not be able to sing that fully, but you can say, teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. But this is the point. Praise the mount, oh, fix me on it. Now, what is that mount? Mount of God's unchanging love. Unchanging love. Oh, has your soul ever come in there? Can you say that love I've tasted, those streams I've tasted, and I know they're unchanging, but oh, I'm in such trouble. The Lord's hidden his face and I can't taste them anymore. Oh, a very present help in trouble. But dear friends, we have to say this, we need to prove it. There is a river, and it's flew the streams of his word, of his grace. They make glad the city of God. Be still. Be still. When the stream comes, be still. You'll be still and know that I'm God. The Lord shall fight for you. You'll have to hold your peace. Be still. Be still. Be silent. Even though the storms are on thy head, even though sorrow fills thy breast, oh, be still and know that I am God. Give me a calm, a thankful heart from every murmur free. I don't know that I'm going to go to the right hymn, but something's just come to mind. The blessings of thy grace impart to make me live to thee. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine. You see, the Lord is having our hearts, friend. The Lord will have your heart. He'll have your affection. He'll have your first fruits. You know, that means your first thoughts in the morning. And I mean what I say. He'll have your first thoughts in the morning. When you wake up, he'll have them. If you're his, he'll have them. He'll have your attention. He'll have your desire. He'll have your affection. He won't. There's no room for others. No room for idols. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend. Thy presence through my journey shine, and crown my journey's end. Be still, and know that I am God. Oh, it's hard to be still, to be silent, to be quiet. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. What have you got to rest in? Oh, dear friends, the pleading of Jacob, how he pleaded all the Lord had done for him. You know, he could plead Bethel. He could plead Laban's house. He could plead the Lord defending him against Laban on the return. But oh, how he seems to lose everything. Now Esau's coming. All those past blessings under threat. Every one of them. If Esau had his way in vengeance, where did the covenant stand? Where did the promise stand? Or that we could come there. Oh, I don't know that I've got authority or right to speak on these things. It seemed terrible to me, the earth be removed. You know, I used to think I could talk about this, but I can't anymore. There's plenty of things we've got to say in religion, in emotion. But when the Lord deals with us, we're put to silence, you know. We're put to silence. He'll silence us from hairy, fairy things. Earth being removed makes my soul tremble. Mountains going into the sea. Although there is that sweet promise, and I will just quote it, though the mountains depart, the hills be removed, yet shall not my come to my I hope the Lord once spoke it to me in my back garden, but I can't seem to quote it properly now. For the mountains shall depart. I didn't start it right. Shall depart. They shall depart. and the hills be removed. I knew what it meant to me in that day. But two things it meant. Two things. I keep them to myself and they were removed from me. But my kindness. Oh, what an exercise of faith. Oh, how you'll need the strength of the Lord. But you'll find it in his kindness. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and thy foundations with sapphires. Oh, I could ought to go into that, but I see the clock is racing ahead of me. I must move on. Oh, think of Asaph under tribulation of the prosperity of the wicked. How he has to say, so foolish was I and ignorant I was as a beast before thee, when the Lord opened his eyes to the end of all things. And that's what we want, our eyes opened to the end of matters, friends. When wicked men vex us and their sorrows increase. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Guide me with thy counsel. Afterward receive me to glory. Friend, the work of grace needs earthquakes sometimes in our lives. It came with an earthquake to me in the very beginning. I felt the ground removed from under me. And maybe the Lord will call us into eternal life with earthquakes. Maybe he won't. But maybe he'll bless us with earthquakes. And remove all fear. I tell you, friends, the Lord, if he blesses you, you'll never murmur at the earthquake. Never, never, never. If he draws nigh to your soul and comfort you and hold your right hand, dear friend, you'll sing all night in happiness. I speak from my early beginnings, my early days in 1969. My early days. The Lord's judgments turn to happiness. Well, ask for the Lord to take you to Calvary. Ask the Lord to take you to Calvary. Then your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You know, you and I'd say that in chapel. But you know, when we're dreaming of idols, we can't say it, can we? But the Lord will have us say it. Dear friend, the Lord will have you say it yet. You'll have it from love. Love. His presence, his blessing, with desire to be with him. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Strength of my heart, my portion forever. Well, I'll have to leave some of this. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. Oh, do plead it. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. What blessing. Think of the Lord Jesus in all his weakness. Again, thou hast been a strength to the needy in his distress, to the poor, a strength and a need in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Have you proved him a shadow of the heat? And so forth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Go in the strength of the Lord. There's a waiting on the Lord. Weariness. The feeble hands. They shall mount up above the troubles, wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, the waiting on the Lord. They will go in the strength of the Lord God. Oh, the pathway appointed, the continuing. You know, when Moses came out of Egypt, he has this threat, as I've said already, that fiery, cloudy pillar would no longer be there. Therefore, he was in the deepest of trouble. And maybe someone here this night is that threatening, that fiery, cloudy pillar, the presence, the grace, the kindness, the love of God is under threat to be removed. But look at the grace of the Lord. Look what Moses pleaded. I've gone back to Moses. I don't know why. But how the Lord, in that one word, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You know what it meant to Moses. He still had everything with him. Everything for him. If God be for us, who can be against us? See the seriousness. No fiery, cloudy pillar. The Lord was against him, and everything would be opposing him. Go in the strength of the Lord. But this strength, dear friend, has something else with it. It's not a natural strength. It's a spiritual strength, and it flows through righteousness. Or make mention of thy righteousness, because there is his strength. There is the strength of the Lord in righteousness. Were it not for righteousness, where would our strength arise? In the fullness of the victories of the Lamb rising from the dead. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. See the strength, the arm of Jehovah, and it's in the resurrection, is the strength where he can draw righteousness. Draw in thy righteousness. I'll make mention of it, he says. There's nothing else to mention. What do we know of the righteousness? The Lord, our righteousness. You know, you've got plenty of righteousness, dear friends, but there's only one righteousness that the poor dear psalmist can plead and mention. And it means he mentions it in prayer. He keeps pleading it in prayer. He may speak of it publicly. He may do that I leave, but he could speak of it to others. But all friends, most of it is pleading it. Pleading it and asking it. And faith in exercise to feel it and know it, to lay hold of it still. And he's mentioning it to the Lord because the psalm is a prayer. And as the prophet says, and I turn to the second part, I'll go to the first one, where he says, oh, the days come, will raise unto David a righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. His days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. I ought not to have skipped over those words. And this is the name where by he shall be called this King, the Lord our righteousness. And then he goes on with an experience of this. There must be the experience of the Lord our righteousness. How would we know it otherwise? Therefore, behold, the days come that the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. You've lived to see the Lord our righteousness brought you out of the world, awakened and quickened you into grace. You'll yet know a deeper righteousness, a more long-suffering righteousness, a more forbearing righteousness. Not all the wanderings of her heart can cause his love from her depart. For the Lord liveth. This is what they'll say. This is what you'll be brought to say. The Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, not out of Egypt, out of the north country, from all countries whither I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. In other words, the captive exile hasteneth to be loosed. And where he's been banished because of his idolatry and his sin and his pride and his wretchedness and his complacency and all the sins of the heart, where the Lord hid his face, as it were, in Babylon, although we may not go to such lengths, but it's as if the Lord hides his face from Zion, from you, from your life, from your home, from your pathway. The Lord our righteousness. That's what you'll say. It's the Lord that liveth, that delivered my soul from this bondage of judgment, from all the hidings of his face. He restoreth my soul, says David. The Lord our righteousness. And there the righteousness is proved by everlasting kindness and everlasting mercy. Again, there is the experience that the prophet speaks of. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall all men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. That follows, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I've sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me shall every knee bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And again, another thought comes. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Well, by the way, that won't be in your own strength, and you won't go round condemning. The Lord will do it all for you. He shall hold your peace. Have you seen, when the Lord defends your head, you'll be quiet. And you won't say anything, because every heart is in his hand. And every heart shall see that you perhaps were right. I goodness knows what I'm talking about here, but I've just said it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Is of me. So this, in conclusion, make mention of thy righteousness. Oh, dear friends, this is prayer. It may be confession publicly that I'll grant It may be the song of praise, but it's the pleading ground of every tried heart, sorrowing heart. If satiate the weary soul, comfort every mourning soul, every grieving soul. He'll prepare this a day when, as we plead His righteousness. I wanted to say more on this. I wanted to speak on it in a practical way concerning those who came to Christ, how their mourning was turned to joy, but I can't speak. I've got to close. Well, I would just leave the text with you. I don't know where we are tonight, but the Lord knows where each of us are. And maybe you feel defeated, finished, undone, perhaps all. And you may feel, oh, the silence of the Lord in this trial. What is the Lord doing with me? I will go in the strength of the Lord. Or how else are you going to turn back? You're going to throw in the towel? I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness. He says here, even of thine only, personal to Christ, all personal, all dear friends. I believe that last clause brings a little nearness. It's just brought it to my heart. A little nearness. Oh Lord, even thine only. That hope I have. That little knowledge, that little, oh, even of thine only. I'll plead this. Plead all thou hast done. Be near me, defend me, help me arise. Surround me with thy grace. Support me by thy word. Be near my soul. Even of thine only. It's personal. Personal. Go and weep at his feet. It's personal. Wet his feet with your tears. Wet his feet with your tears. Wipe his feet with your hairs of your head. And look and feel for those wounds. And plead them, even of thine only. They're in the wounds. They're in the wounds. The righteousness is found flowing from the wounds of the Lamb. Even of thine only. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Broome will preach on Friday evening, next Lord's Day, and at our anniversary services on Monday next week. Let us close with hymn 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fixed my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way. Till him I view, hymn 144.
Bless thy word, forgive any utterance amiss, to convey us, Lord, each of us to our homes in safety and in peace. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.